they cannot stop the suffering, the constant changing, and eventually going to return to the suffering. So that's their suffering. If one realizes, no matter how high in this heavenly level, still you are not totally away from suffering. With this realization, and you generate strong determination to away from suffering and to be in peace forever. That is the beginning of Bodhicitta mind. And of course, Bodhicitta mind has other content in saving others. We're going to discuss that later. The Arahant and single and another Buddhist are a great enlightened being called a solitary enlightened being. Those two sage or holy people, they do not have the true Bodhicitta mind. Bodhisattva do have Bodhicitta mind. They want to save themselves. They want to save all relatives and friends, even enemies. They want to save all beings with a mind of equanimity, without discrimination. The Theravada Buddhists, now the tradition of Theravada Buddhism is to, and particularly those who reach the sagehood, they do save beings, only those they think they are karmically connected to them or they like them. But they will not volunteer to come out and save others, as the Bodhisattvas of the Mahayana Buddhism would do. Therefore, oftentimes it's said that Bodhisattvas are the sentient beings' friends without invitation, because they volunteer to come out and help others. The three great vows in Buddhism, which are, sentient beings are numerous, I vow to save them all. Dharma gates or Dharma methods are numerous. Oh no, the second one, the first one is the vexations are infinite and numerous. Those sentient beings are numerous, I vow to save them all. The second great vows, four great vows is, vexations are numerous, I vow to cut them all. The third great vow is, Dharma gates and approaches are infinite, I vow to master them all. And the last one is, Supreme Buddhahood, I vow to attain it. That's the four great vows of Mahayana Buddhism for all Bodhisattva to achieve. As actually, to save all sentient beings without any discrimination, without any condition, it is to, the other three great vows are only to support, to accomplish this one. Because if one truly wants to save all sentient beings effectively, one will be bound to cut off one's vexations. And then one cut off one's vexations with the motivation of, in order to qualify oneself to save others. And not just cut off vexations to get out of samsara. And that compassion in self-cultivation, in saving others, are merely the result of great true compassion. That is the true Bodhicitta mind. However, nowadays, the many Buddhists who only want the third and fourth great vows, which is, Dharma gates are numerous. They vow to master them all. So they learn all kinds of Dharma teachings and methods. Supreme Buddhahood of supreme and unsurpassing, and they too want to obtain the Buddhahood. But it's like building a structure, a building, without the first and the second floor. You only want the third and the fourth floor. That is just impossible to attain there. And that's why so many Buddhists practice. Also, all knows a lot about Buddhism's teachings and methods, but very few truly obtain the achievement. I'd like to point out my personal experience and share with you when I decided to follow my teacher, Mr. and Venerable Li Bingnan. He gave me three requirements or three conditions that I must accept for 5 years. Number one, I must only listen to him and follow his instructions and not follow anybody else's instructions. Number two, without his personal concurrence, I must not even look at other Buddhism books. Number three, everything I have learned so far are considered invalid and has to be forget and threw out of my mind. When I first heard these conditions, I was thinking, this is too strict. Or sounds like my teacher is a dictator. Then I just think about it. I said, okay, let me try. So I said, I will accept your requirement. For 5 years, I'll do what you told me and only what you told me. Then I realized in the practice during these 5 years, I realized the less I listen to other people, the less books I read of different teaching, the less vexation and confusion I have. And the more I can cut off, the more I can not listen to other people or reading other books, the more vexation got cut off. And also realize if I completely cut off, completely not listen to other people's teaching and reading other books, then I completely cut off vexations and confusion. Then I realize the requirement of my teacher. First one, listen only to the teacher for 5 years. It is to block my ear so I won't be confused by the noise or confused teaching from other people. Do not read any books without the concurrence of the teacher. It is to block my eyes without being hurting and confused by other books and teachings. And therefore, in that 5 years, actually the first half year is passed, I feel big difference, tremendous benefits and vexations cut off drastically already. So at the end of the 5 year, I volunteered myself to the teacher. I'd like to extend this condition, adherence of this condition to another 5 years. So I followed the teacher, accepted his requirements and condition for a total of 10 years. And after that, my teacher told me, I can go ahead and learn from all the other teachers. I can go ahead and read all books, even evil books. And you can only benefit at that time. No matter what kind of person tell you, no matter what kind of books you read, no matter how wrong they are, you benefit yourself because you know what is right. From that point on, you get more experience. It is like the children. You got to watch the kids very closely. It's not dictatorship of the parents. It is the great love to protect them from being contaminated from the environment. And that is great compassion of the parents. So, I was very lucky, a student said, you are very lucky to have such a great teacher, and you benefit so much. We are not that lucky, because we can't find such a teacher. It is true, to find a teacher of such great caliber and capacity, it is through your good karma and inconceivable karmic connections. You cannot really find a teacher so good and is in a physical form that you can see and learn on a daily basis. But if you cannot meet such a person in a physical form to help you, I advise you, which is also the method of my own teacher, he cannot find a teacher for himself. He simply follows the great teacher in the history book of Buddhism. You find one and decide you're going to follow that one, you read all his books, you put all his teaching into practice, and only his teaching. My teacher said, do not follow Su Dongpo, the great scholar and poet, famous in writing poem, and do not follow the modern scholar Liang Qichao, who is famous in literature. These two persons are famous in Chinese history for their profound knowledge, but they do not have cultivation. So do not follow them. Follow the great teacher. And he said very humbly, I am not qualified to be a teacher. Follow the 13th patriarch of Pure Land, the most venerable Yingguang Dasi. And from the history, we can find a similar example. You cannot find somebody physically available to you that you follow the great sage or holy people in the history book. Like Confucius followed Confucius. They are a couple hundred time beyond them, between them. You cannot follow as a physical teacher. So Confucius spent all his lifetime studying Confucius' books and put into practice and contemplate on all the teachings for only one teacher all his lifetime. And therefore, in the history, Confucius was considered the second highest sage in the Chinese history. And there are other examples too. In the Han Dynasty, a famous historian, Sima Qian, he followed Zhuo Qiuming, who wrote a famous historic book. And he studied and practiced only Zhuo Qiuming's style and philosophy. And therefore, Sima Qian of the Han Dynasty becomes the great scholar and historian of the Han Dynasty. There's another example famous in Chinese history in the area of literature. Han Yu, who is one of the eight greatest scholar and person in literature. He followed the author of Siji, the record book of Chinese history, the author is Sima Qian. He follows Sima Qian's all the articles, all the thinking, even the writing style of Sima Qian. And therefore, Han Yu became the great scholar of Tang Dynasty by following one teacher from history book. In Buddhism, another example I can give to you is in the Ming Dynasty, great master Ou Yi, he followed Lian Zi master and studied all his books and put into practice. And therefore, Venerable Ou Yi in Ming Dynasty became a great master that is famous in Chinese Mahayana Buddhism. If you follow one person with all your heart, then you can be considered as a descendant of this broken lineage, of this lineage. Therefore, my advice to all of you to follow a great person, a great being, that's even greater than my teacher's advice to me, the patriarch of Pure Land, Yingguang Dasi. My advice to you is follow the great teacher of all great teachers, Amitabha Buddha, as your teacher, and follow and read the Infinite Life Sutra for 5 years and control yourself, not reading other books, for 5 years and practice Amitabha as your own deity, as your only ideal idol, if you want to use that word. And then you can become actually a manifestation of Amitabha. If you have choose all your goal into Amitabha and all study only Amitabha's sutra. In my personal experience, during 5 years concentrated like apprenticeship, then you're going to cultivate and develop proper viewpoint corresponding to wisdom. Then when you read the sutra, your eyes can emitting light, the light of wisdom. With that developed, then come back and read all other books, interface and talk to all other teachers. You know right away the level of their spiritual achievement and their realization of the Buddha's teaching. You know how deep, at what level they are. And that is because you have opened up your mind. But if you study all the sutras and all the teachings and interface with all the teachers, you get all kinds even confusing and conflicting information, then with that kind of attitude, you, for 300 years you studied, you're just getting more and more confused. And you read ancient Buddhism books, you would not able to tell the spiritual level of that book. So when I discuss this one and share with another master who is also famous in Singapore, Venerable Yen Pei, after my lecture, Yen Pei asked me to go to a private room and said, that's exactly the three conditions my teacher asked me to do. And his teacher is Di Xian, Venerable Di Xian, very famous. I only followed this instruction, which is three requirements, for 2 years. That I said to him, what a shame. If you follow him for 5 years, solely, your achievement will be much higher than what you are today. Because if we follow one teacher, that teacher introduced one method. We follow two teachers, introduce two methods. You follow three, you get more teachings. You follow four, you'll be in a crossroad. Which way to go? In the ancient time, the Buddhist disciples follow the teacher. Some follow all their lifetime, 20, 30 years, pretty common. So this is about dedication in following one teacher or one teaching, and then you can have achievement a lot easier than exposed to all teachings with craving desire. The regular education talks about you should have more knowledge, more foundation. In Buddha Dhamma, its education is to be able to, the purpose is to be able to understand all. But their methods are different. The regular education system want to help you establish a wide foundation, like building a pyramid. The wider you are, then you can go higher and higher, but then it's only to one single point. But Buddhism's education is totally different from regular education in that you need to concentrate on one and only one sutra. Only one sutra is completely and thoroughly realized. You go with deeply inside for this one sutra and only one sutra. And when you completely realize that, which means what? Enlightenment or realization. When you have realization, then come back and read or compare with other sutras, you have instant understanding without trouble. Therefore, Buddhism's education is like a tree starting from the roots, one point or a seed. It grows higher and higher and then become wide and great perfect, and like the shape of the pyramid. Therefore, their methodology are totally different. Therefore, in the beginning, looks like regular worldly education sounds very impressive. All kinds of subjects, all kinds of knowledge, sounds very knowledgeable. But the more you learn, eventually you only reach a single point, a high level of achievement, but that is only single point. On the contrary to that approach, Buddha Dhamma's education is starting very simple, maybe even boring, but with single mind, go deep, deep inside. When you fully realize the self nature, then you read all sutras. You can master them without additional studies. So, the worldly people just cannot understand this kind of methodology and approach. But because difference of methodology, the achievement is drastically different. In the 40 flower adorned sutra, there are different types. One is 40 flower adorned sutra. A bodhisattva by the name of Santai Hongzi, he first followed Manjusri Bodhisattva Mahasattva as teacher. From that teacher, he has accomplished precept, samadhi and wisdom. With that kind of wisdom and a spiritual achievement, the teacher let him go to visit 53 different types of teachers of God's world. And these 53 different types of teachers, some are home living monks, some, most of them are lay persons. Some are older, some are younger. And the final one, the final teacher that he visits, was Universal Goodness Teacher, who teach him, who taught him to make vow and to be born into the Buddha Amitabha's Pure Land. Only when one can go to Pure Land, then one can perfect one's Buddhahood. If one do not go to the Pure Land, then at most, one can cut off all vexations, but not complete one's Bodhicitta and Supreme Buddhahood. This is my realization when I teach the Flower Adorned Sutra for many years.
17年了，我已经17年了，教了17年了。
In 17 years, I teach the Flower Adorned Sutra. And then finally I realized, in this sutra, it mentioned the highest Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, next to Buddha. They all want to go to Buddha Amitabha's place. They already stay in the spiritual realm called complete true Dhammadhatu. If they already reached that level, why do they still want to go to Pure Land and visit the Buddha Amitabha? I have great doubt in my mind. And after 70 years of teaching of the Flower Adorned Sutra, I suddenly realized they went there in order to perfect their Buddhahood, in order to accomplish the Bodhicitta and become a perfect Buddha. Therefore, if we can generate great mind and vows to be born in Pure Land, then we too can perfect our Bodhicitta and obtain Supreme Buddhahood. The second statement in the third virtue talks about to truly believe in the law of cause and effect. In my early studied period of time, I have great doubt about this one, because the third virtue deals with the learning content of a Bodhisattva. If they put this one in the first virtue for lay average people, I can understand it. But for great Bodhisattva, for they to practice, they still need to understand and deeply believe in this law of cause and effect. That makes me very puzzled. And then, when I study the Flower Adorned Sutra, in the chapter of the 10 level Bodhisattva, I have a sudden realization. The 10 levels of Bodhisattva, including, and not including, plus the additional level, which is one step just below Buddha, that all together, 10 plus 1, 11 levels of great Bodhisattvas. They all practice Buddha method, Amitabha Buddha method. Then I realized in the third virtue that one should possess in believing, truly believing in the law of cause and effect, is to believe the law, the cause of chanting Buddha, and the result of the effect is to be born in the Pure Land, to be perfect one's Buddhahood. Then I realized the purpose of this law of cause and effect is not just average law of cause and effect, but a special law of cause and effect. To believe in the Buddha, in the chanting of Amitabha method, and become like Amitabha Buddha, and thus perfect one's Buddhahood. To read and recite Mahayana Buddhism sutras, of all Mahayana Buddhism sutras, is the content of the third virtue. To to read the sutra or recite the sutra is in order to learn and follow the example of Buddha and Bodhisattvas and put into practice. It is not just to read books back to the Buddha or Bodhisattva. As Buddha or Bodhisattva teach you the books, the sutra, he does not need you to repeat back to him. For Buddhists, when we practice, at least we should practice twice a day, once in the morning, once at the night. The purpose of morning session is to remind us what we need to do for the rest of the day. And evening session or evening homework is to provide opportunity for self-examination and for self-improvement. If we haven't done or reached what we're supposed to do as reminded in the morning session, then we need to repent and try our best for the next day. But if we only read and chant the sutra and do the homework twice, once in the morning, once at the night, before Buddha statue made of wood or clay, and we don't even think about the meaning during our rest of time of the day, then we are cheating the Buddha made of stone, clay, or wood. If we dare to cheat the Buddha twice a day, then it's worse than cheating the real Buddha, because we don't even respect the wooden one. When the real one comes, our cheating will be worse than that. So how can we do that? We must not do this kind of thing. We must do the chanting and change our mind accordingly. Historically or traditionally, the Buddhists who practice Pure Land will do Amitabha Sutra once and three times of rebirth into Pure Land mantra three times. I have taught the Amitabha Sutra and explained in detail for only three times. Each time it takes 335 tapes to complete the teaching of Amitabha Sutra. So the teaching of Amitabha Sutra is very profound, very deep than average people can possibly conceive. Therefore, I'd like to advise you to chant the Infinite Life Sutra, which may be longer, but simpler and easier to understand. If you do not have the time to chant that one, it takes about 2 hours. Then I advise you, in the morning session, you chant only the chapter number 6 to practice and to learn how Buddha Amitabha generated his great vows, and you try to generate vows of a similar type. Then you become Buddha's friend, because you generate the same kind of vows, having the same kind of attitude towards sentient beings. At night time, if you don't have time to recite the whole sutra of infinite life, then my advice to you is to recite or chant only chapter 33 through 37, only 5 chapters, which basically talk about renunciate all evils and wrongdoings and practice only good things and deeds. At night time, if you do that, then you are actually practicing and examining your practice. And this is similar to chanting Buddha name and follow precepts. Therefore, in the morning, you can generate great vows just like the Buddha Amitabha. At night time, you can practice just the way the Buddha would do in daily life. Then your heart is similar to Buddha Amitabha's heart, then you are bound to be born into the Pure Land. But if you only chant Buddha's name without changing your mind, even you can chant 1/10 of a million times or 100,000 times, but your mind has not into Buddha's heart, then even you lost your voice in doing so, it doesn't change your mind. It's still not that useful. And today's people do not understand the true meaning and teaching of Amitabha Sutra. They only follow traditional approach of chanting the Amitabha Sutra, do not know the meaning, do not know how to put it into practice, do not examine one's behavior on a daily basis. Therefore, I advise everyone to recite or chant the Infinite Life Sutra and put your heart into it. And you can simplify that for one chapter in the morning and five chapters at night. So in the third virtue, it talks about to read and recite all Mahayana sutras. Then one can obtain the supreme benefits of the Buddha Dharma. But in actual implementation of this item of third virtue, one needs to pick up only one major sutra and concentrate to this one for at least 5 years. But modern people do not have the patience. So I will say, let's give a 60% shortcut. Let's say 3 years. Minimum 3 years, you need to concentrate on one sutra, on only that one Mahayana sutra. I myself spent 10 years. But I spent 10 years for a different period of time, not 10 years, for five different sutras.